Support this show and all of the work in the Heartland Pod universe by going to heartlandpod.com and clicking the Patreon link to sign up. Membership starts at $1 per month and goes up from there with extra shows and special access at the higher levels. Heartlandpod.com, click the Patreon link, or just go to Patreon and search for the Heartland Pod. No matter the level you choose, your membership helps us create these independent shows as we work together to change the conversation. This week on the Heartland Pod, we're going to be talking about Senator Roy Blunt's retirement, the Dominion lawsuit, GOP leadership battles, ranked choice voting, and we have a last call preview about Congressman-elect George Santos. Lots to do, so let's go. Welcome back to the Heartland Pod. My name is Adam Sommer, and I am your host. This is the regular Monday show, our talking politics show, with myself and my co-hosts Rachel Parker and Sean Diller, who will join us in just a moment. I am a lawyer in West Central Missouri. Rachel is a writer and works in marketing and all kinds of different things, but mostly I would call her a writer and a good one at that. And Sean Diller is a campaign operative. He works in politics, so he knows a thing or two about what's going on inside of the game. Together, we bring big topics of the week with a special focus on the Heartland as we bring our middle-out approach to politics and work to change the conversation. We bring you shows 5 days a week, and starting on January 5th, just a few days from now, you can join Jess Piper for her show, Dirt Road Democrat, where she will tackle issues like education, equal rights, hypocrisy, abortion, and a whole lot more. Support what we do by leaving a rating and review on the podcast app of your choice. And please, Apple users especially, take that moment, scroll down. Even if you've done it before, please scroll down, tap that 5 stars, leave a review for other folks to see so that they know why they should check out our shows. Follow us on your preferred social media with at the Heartland Pod. You can find us just about everywhere. And I am working on a post account right now, so I'll have that up hopefully this week for you to connect with us over there as well. But we're still on Twitter and Facebook and everything else. You can support our work via Patreon, just like I said at the top of the show, and we appreciate that. All of your support is huge. We have a great group over there who have been growing, and we're hoping for 2023 to really grow that group and really make this into something that we can support some serious work on our end. It's been awesome so far. When you do sign up, you become one of the members of the Heartland Pod family, and even at that the lowest level, the $1 a month level, you're going to get added into our curated news feed channel where you can get selected news stories right from us. The stuff that we're reading, the stuff that we think is important, we'll share it with you so that you don't have to go searching for that kind of stuff. And at $5 a month and up, you get access to the last call episodes. We're going to have a last call episode. You're going to get a preview of it at the end of this show right here. And if you want to hear the whole thing, you got to sign up, and you get that over at Patreon. That's where we put those last call episodes, and they're a lot of fun. They are a ton of fun. We did a whole one, like an hour long, about the Trump NFTs right before Christmas. So if you're curious about what that sounds like, go over there, get signed up, $5 a month or more, and you can be part of the last call. All right. I don't have an opening statement this week. It's a new year. It's 2023. I personally had a good 2022 for a lot of different reasons. I'm hoping for 2023 to be even better. But, you know, there's always stuff to improve, always things that could be better. And that's why we're here to do these shows and to do this work and to bring the messages for you, to try to connect you to stuff that's going on. So what do we have this week? We've got this show on Monday. Tomorrow, you're going to get an interview with Michael Butler, the chair of the Missouri Democratic Party. We have a High Country on Wednesday from Sean Diller with an update from the Mountain West, Colorado, New Mexico, stuff like that. And then on Thursday, the premiere of Dirt Road Democrat with Jess Piper. And then every single Friday, you get Kevin Smith bringing you the flyover view, where he helps summarize some of the most important news stories from the week from around the area. So stick with us. We love that you're here. Make sure you're subscribed. Make sure you rate and review. Share our show with a friend. And, you know, let's have some fun. All right, let's get to the rest of the show.
Talking Politics.
All right, we are here for Talking Politics. It is 2023, first episode of a new year, but same old us. So here we are. We're back. It's Adam, it's Sean, it's Rachel. The whole crew is here. And we're going to talk a little bit about our holidays and get back up to speed, and then we'll jump into our topics. So, Rachel Parker, let's kick it over to you first. So I will say I am sipping on a hot tea. I've got a green tea from Bigelow, and then I have in reserve, I have some bourbon for the last call that I'll talk about when we get to the last call. Great holiday over here, and lots of good stuff. How about you, Rachel? What you sipping on, and how was the holidays?
The holidays were great. I'm sipping on, you never hear me say this, a Jamaica's Finest ginger beer. Because every once in a while you just got to get a ginger beer. And there was going to be vodka in this for this evening. And then I had vodka and whatever. I can't, nothing tonight for me. Yeah. Just the straight, the empty blank soda. But it's very delicious. And the holidays were good. You know, they're still really quiet. We're still living like it's 2021 over here. Mm-hmm. And being very cautious because everyone's, like, my sister has kids, and so they've been sick constantly. Like, right. The upper respiratory, like, all things that if you live in a household with a lung transplant survivor, as I do, things that kind of raise your hackles, like, you know how my life is really good right now? Yeah, right. You know what really fucking suck is Elliot Rosen in the ICU. So we're just like, you know, we're still just kind of separating from people and figuring out, we're getting more serious. This is a way longer answer than you wanted. We're kind of also getting serious about like what a protocol is so people can come over, like, well, if you test on this day and blah, blah, blah. So, so hopefully we can be a little bit more socials in 2023. But I'm excited that I'm excited to talk about what we're going to talk about tonight because, we're not going to talk about this, but the Democratic candidate for Attorney General in Arizona won by the skin of her teeth.
Yeah.
But that means that I can sleep now. Like I can just like, curl up in bed and just be like, whatever, everything's great. So thank you to Arizona Democrats for kicking all the ass. Made my fucking year. It's awesome.
Sean Diller, man, how about you? How the holidays treat y'all, and what you sipping on?
Good. Yeah, it's great to be back. The holidays treated us really well. Christmas was awesome. I got, I almost never have any kind of new clothes on. Like everything I own is secondhand, head to toe. But Michelle got me a gorgeous pair of new Timberlands, which I basically always wear Timberland boots. George Costanza style. So they're really great. And there's a stack of books about as tall as the Timberlands that I also got.
Nice.
Susan Page, Madam Speaker, Confidence Man by Maggie Haberman, and an awesome cookbook.
Just light reading. Hilarious.
Light reading.
The joke that Elliot would make would be something about like, you're just going to read the book, the Haberman book, just for the comedy.
Right. Peril by Robert Costa and Bob Woodward was a lot funnier than I thought it would be. It's good editing. It's got to be partially the editing.
That is a peak Sean Diller comment right there.
But and today was awesome. Michelle was working at the hospital. It's New Year's Day when we're recording. So she works a lot of holidays. So I was watching the 4.5-year-old and the 1-year-old who just walks/runs everywhere now and puts everything in her mouth. So that was really fun. And we watched a movie, not to drone on, but we watched 101 Dalmatians, you know, on Disney Plus, 1961. So today's kids' movies, the closest thing to a villain, like in Encanto, is self-doubt.
Right.
People not seeing how
it's all internal monologues, though.
Right. Yeah. And in 101 Dalmatians, it's this evil woman, as people know the story.
Yeah.
She wants to murder 100
and
puppies. To make them into
coats.
Her
name is Cruella.
Right.
Like,
right.
Cruella DeVille.
The little devil. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
When the movie opens, it's like a slow shot into like a, you know, picture of London. And we go into like Roger's apartment.
Right.
And like the first person you see is smoking a pipe because it's 1961.
Right.
So like right out of the gate, the 4.5-year-old. What is that? Why does he have that? What is he doing? Like, yeah, it's a pipe, you know, people don't really do that anymore. Like Cruella, you know, why is her face so mean? Why is she mean? Why does she want to do that?
Like, also, she's smoking the whole time.
Right, right.
Oh, yeah, that's right. She's got the cigarette and the cigarette filter.
Yeah, cigarette holder. Yeah. Right, yeah.
Like, just hanging out of her mouth.
Yeah, like all the time.
Yeah, and yeah, and the dad does have a pipe in basically every shot. So anyway,
that's
awesome. Good times. Yeah.
You
more gunplay also in the older kids movie.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. Hopefully more really gunplay. You should show her the episode of The Simpsons where they have 101 where the dog, what's their Santa's Little Helper, like knocks the dog and like there's the, it's my favorite Simpsons musical number where Burns does the Cruella de Vil number, but he, instead of wanting a coat, he just has this like absurd collection of like cruel things made by rare animals, and that's the whole like see my best
right.
made from real gorilla chest.
You're right.
And all that.
Yes.
So great.
Oh
yeah. So great.
See my best. Oh
that's
my god.
Right.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
That
that's
is so
awesome.
Classic. That is great.
Yeah, all the kids had an excellent, excellent Christmas, but the big gift was the dog. We got our dog Walter, and he's gonna be trained up and get the therapy training and all that. So we wanted a very specific dog for all that, and he's just been lived up to our wildest dreams. He's so awesome, and we had some friends come out for New Year's, and just been great.
When I get a rescue dog, are you gonna? Because that's what's gonna happen. I'll get some little, you know, rescue rehoused something or other that's good with kids. Because I'm not doing. I loved my dog that passed away last year, but like, he sucked with children because he was they were too small. He made him nervous. So the next dog I get is going to be like awesome with kids, and he's going to be able to, he or she will be able to go everywhere, whatever. But are you going to do the whole like, well, yeah, Rachel, but like Walter is like a very smart, very special
dog. Oh no.
Dog.
No, 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 no,
you could, if you wanted to, you could, if you, I would allow it.
No, he's
okay.
He is very smart and he is going to have good training and stuff, but like, he's still a dog. Like, you know, it's a dog. They're dogs. Dogs are dogs. We our last dog we got from a PetSmart. We were like there with our first dog that we used to have these two other dogs several years ago, and we had this dog and he was great. And we're at PetSmart one day and they're, you know, doing the like guilt trip adoption day, you know, where they have him out. And I took him around the store and I like picked him up for a second just to like, you know, just hold him for a second. He was like a smaller dog. And he laid in my arms like backwards and looked up at me, and he just one time just licked my face, just the lightest like, please God take me home lick.
Yeah.
And I went back and I was like, I'll take this dog. And she was like, do you live in an apartment or a house? And I was like, an apartment, but we already have a dog, so you don't have to call my landlord, it'll be fine. So which they were probably should have called my landlord, but we still took the dog back, and it was just, They were great dogs, but this is a whole other thing with Clara. Like, we wanted the therapy dog, and my wife is probably going to start being a school counselor in the future, and so she can take the dog to school and it can be part of
a therapy dog. Oh, that's rad.
Yeah, so it was kind of more than just like we want a dog. Like, that was part of it. It was like
you
we
Summers,
want this very specific thing. So
you Summers, what a good household you are.
You're going to be the most loved family in Warrensburg when you start taking your dog to school.
Well,
seriously.
Yeah, that's like a cheat code. So
it's like little Sebastian.
He will be like little Sebastian. Yeah. We got a picture of him today where we were playing soccer outside. Cause it was beautiful outside. And so the whole family was playing soccer, and he sat down on one of the little goals, and he had the soccer ball in front of him, and he looked like he was like a kindergartner, you know, like posing for their like team soccer picture. Like, it was so perfect and so hilarious. And he's such a little ham, and it's great. It's great. But well, let's talk some politics. Let's get into this thing.
True or false?
All right. The true or false is, comes out of Missouri. But it's sort of, is, you know, it's one of these, it's a Missouri-based thing, but it tells us something about the national picture. So true or false, Senator Roy Blunt retired because his own base made the work too hard to do. That's the true or false. And this comes from this very interesting website, semaphore.com.
Semaphore.
Yeah, Semaphore.
Semaphore, yeah.
And it's a good
it's
website.
It's a bunch of New York. It's a bunch of former New York.
It's a pun.
It's a bunch of.
I guess.
Is it a pun?
Not a pun, maybe. It's a reference. I hate titles like that. Anyway, go ahead.
But it's a bunch of former New York Times. It's a bunch of former New York Times people, and they will never put. They vowed that it will none of this will ever go behind a paywall, and they launched like 6 months ago.
Yeah.
And I was, you know, healthfully skeptical, but then I was like, oh, they're doing some pretty. They're doing some pretty good reporting so far. So and I saw this and I was like, nailed it.
Yeah. Beautiful. I mean, it's basically an article and they'll be in the show notes as always. The links are always there. You know, that essentially is just like, it's too hard to do the work anymore. Congress isn't doing its job. There's a better way to do it. And so he's leaving. Like, we could do this better. We could, you know, do such a better job as Congress, but I'm out. Peace. I'm gone. I'm not going to be part of that process anymore. So I don't know. What do you think, Rachel? True or false?
What remind me of the framing
that he's retiring like, because it's too hard now.
Like it's too almost given him the benefit of the doubt that he wants to do good work. So it's become too difficult to like serve the people in a real way.
Yeah.
Kind of. What like a the, fucking like to, hypocrite. To
be,
I don't know.
Yeah, to be good at the job is just so difficult now. And so
I feel like I don't even know how to answer it. I guess. Yeah, sure. Whatever. like what I'll say is like, you know, I spent a fair amount of time trying to get Roy Blunt to pay attention to his constituents during the Trump years, right? Where sure. he had just been reelected. That was when he got to go back. That was his second term, third term. How the hell long was he in the Senate? Was he originally?
I think that was
in the House for forever.
He was a big time House leader. Yeah.
Yeah.
Two or three terms in the Senate.
Yeah. Anyway, whatever. So, you know, and everyone kept saying, oh, no. He's like one of the adults. You know, he was like the third highest ranked Senate Republican in the Senate, I believe.
Yeah.
And he was basically like Mitch McConnell's yes man. Whatever Mitch McConnell wanted, Roy Blunt would say, yes, okay. And at no point throughout any of the more troubling Trump things that Trump did, including like trying to repeal the ACA and all stuff, Roy Blunt never showed his face in front of Missouri voters ever.
Right.
I've never. So this idea that he like wants to do things for the voters, I was like, well, you could have like met with us, maybe. Like you could have just like sat down at a table with a bunch of us at once, or you. I mean, I know he knows that we were trying to get him to, you know, show up at a town hall or do anything, and he just didn't have to. Like he didn't have to do any concessions because of the way that, because of the makeup and the demographics of Missouri. So it's pretty fucking weak. And you know, the bar is so. I'm gonna sound like Sean Diller now. The bar is so low for Republicans right now to look normal that he can just like, you know, by comparison, he looks like, you know, this like, you know, defender of democracy and all this stuff.
Right.
And he has voted for some of the more bipartisan legislation this cycle.
Yeah.
That is part of his history. He's a big supporter of the National Institute of Health, so on and so forth. But he's never been anything but a standard obstructionist Republican. So to hear him look at Congress to go, it's just really hard to get anything done. I'm like, yeah, because you guys fucking broke it. Like, what are you talking about? That's what I think to me is the most like gas, like just shockingly, even by his standards, hypocritical thing for him to say. I don't even know what else to say.
Well, especially if you put in like the context as we go over to Sean, that like the context of like he's elected for the basically the 2010 elections when he goes to the Senate. So he's reelected in 16 in the Trump wave, and then he retires now. So you got to figure he probably knew he was going to retire before now because he's in his 70s now.
Yeah, that's a really good thing to point out. So the big rumor about him as soon as he was reelected in 2016 that I heard was that he was planning on retiring.
Right. It was already on the table that he probably was only going to do this term and then be out. So if that's the case, if you know you're not running for re-election, then why not stand up and do the right thing a little bit more, especially during that 4-year stretch of insane, you know, government going on where this is the kind of person who had the bona fides, could have stood up and said, I'm from a state that voted for this guy for 20, you know, by 20%. And I am saying that this is not the way to do it. This is not the way that we should be doing it. He could have been a real thought leader on things. I mean, you know, he's done plenty of stuff that's good for Missouri in certain ways from a money standpoint. Like, he certainly had the power to get good pork barrel projects, you know, back to Missouri, which is certainly part of the job, no doubt about that. And he's going to have a bridge named after him, so good for him. But like, other than that, you know, he could have done something more with that. Sean, what do you think, true or false here?
Did you flip it to me? Cut out for a
second. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Maybe I need to close some windows here. So I think that the base loathes Roy Blunt for doing everything that we actually want him to do. Like, that's what I think. And like the fact that that the Republicans flipped the House and these Senate Republicans went ahead and passed a budget with Chuck Schumer and the Democrats, knowing that Joe Biden would sign it, instead of, you know, giving the House Republicans the opportunity to shut down the government or do whatever they were going to do. The quotes were really kind of interesting in Semaphore, and you can tell that these reporters are really well sourced, because like, they were saying, you know, the incoming House GOP, basically they were saying, like, we did them a favor by passing basically the budget Nancy Pelosi passed.
Right.
And, you know, they're calling bullshit. And so, but I was looking at the comments. I sent you guys this in Slack, like on Breitbart, just to see what was the reaction.
Give us a few of those, because they were pretty special.
Yeah. I mean, it's no holds barred. They list Blunt and the other Republicans in the Senate who voted for the budget as traitors. And
traitors to what?
Right. they say he's an enemy to all American taxpayers. That's some mild language. But then the same person says, time for him and the rest of those turd blossoms to go by any means necessary, period.
God.
It has 24 upvotes, 0 downvotes.
Well, you throw a turd blossoms in there, you're going to get some upvotes. Yeah. Everybody knows that.
So I think it's the spending. I don't know what it is, but yeah, like they hate him. And I wonder, I'm trying to remember, you know, Blunt put out a really slick ad and I remember seeing it and just my reaction was like, that is a really good ad. And I guess, you know, I'm thinking it was before he announced he wouldn't be running for reelection. So, you know, I don't know when he decided he wasn't going to run, but based on what happened in the race for his open seat, you know, like, these guys have unlimited resources. I always say this, especially a United States senator, like, they're polling every single day and they know exactly what their voters want and what their voters think of them. And so, you know, that's a big part of why Kyrsten Sinema left the Democratic Party, because she knew that too many Democrats hated her, like Democratic voters.
And I thought it was because she was taking a bold stand. So
bold. I think she would say that those two things aren't mutually exclusive, Adam. You know, like,
right. Like matching socks.
She's a maverick. Like matching socks. That's very good.
Dresses like my 19-month-old.
Yeah. No, but I think he knew he was going to get primaried by someone who would have unlimited resources, like, you know, a Greitens or someone who would get, you know, Trump behind them against him as a McConnell rhino.
And
you know, he's a rhino.
And what's sad is that in the plain light of day post midterms, like, Roy Blunt would have won everything if he decided to run again. He would have won the primary. He would still be in the U.S. Senate. He wouldn't have lost. There's no earthly fucking way that if Eric Schmidt wouldn't have run, you know what I mean? Like, he would have stayed. They would have been like, stay exactly where
right
now. You are not primarying Roy Blunt, you idiot. And you can do it in two. You can primary. You can run against Josh Allen Tuesday for whatever. Like, if Roy Blunt really wanted to still be in the United States Senate, he would have done it. There's no way that Missouri Republicans wouldn't have supported him. Like, that would have happened.
Right. He probably did have the actual skill and resources to crush anyone who dared primary him.
Yeah, I think you're right. It probably would have been ugly, though. Like, I think you're both right. Like, I think Greitens still would have run. There's no question in my mind.
Like, but I think he's missed some of these goofballs. Vicky Hartz probably still would have run. You
I don't know.
Like,
I don't think so.
Billy Long still might have run.
I don't think you don't talk
to enough Republicans who hate Roy Blunt.
Yeah. But I'm talking about the Missouri Republican Party. The Missouri Republican Party would have been like, everybody fucking stand down now. That's it. We have our guy. He's like, he knows, we know him. He knows us. that's it. That's done.
Yeah, maybe.
And they're all such fucking pussies. Ooh. That I mean that in the animal sense, not the other connotation of that word. He's
whichever version is most pejorative.
Yeah, whatever. so that he couldn't just be like, you know what, I'll win. What am I worried about? Yeah. They were so unsure of Trump's hold in the party. You're right, Sean. They were so unsure of Trump's hold in the party that he just like, well, I was thinking about retiring and fuck it. And then he had to like, this is why we're talking about this again. On his way out the door, he'd have to be like, I don't like the sandbox that I helped make.
Right.
It's messy.
I think he should get the Medal of Freedom for the last year he had. Belichick.
Let's move on.
Yeah, no. Yeah.
Okay. The yeah, no comes to us. Well, from a combination of different things, but basically, so we've got this Dominion thing out there. This lawsuit is out there, and there's crazy stuff happening within the lawsuit. And as a result of it, people are being put under oath, and they're being deposed, and they're having to answer questions. The kinds of questions that if they answer them the right way is very good for them, and if they answer them the wrong way is very bad for them, potentially even financially, including Sean Hannity, who is one of these people who said very recently, I did not believe it for one second, when referring to the Dominion voting system claims of fraud. And then in the other vein, we have a Republican senator, Mike Lee of Utah, calling Rudy Giuliani walking malpractice after the January 6th report comes out. It's in the report. So the yeah, no, I have is just right wing characters trying to walk back their 2020, trying to whitewash it, make it all as if, you know, we all knew the whole time and it was all just, you know, theater and nobody was really trying to overthrow the government. And really, it's just Rudy's just crazy and Mike Lindell's crazy and
Sidney Powell. They've all flipped on Sidney Powell.
Yeah, obviously. Sidney Powell's just a Looney Tune.
Right.
And, you know, Trump just wasn't listening to the right people. And it's not his fault.
Trump had bad lawyers.
Yeah, he just had bad lawyers. Everybody can relate. Sometimes you just have a bad lawyer.
Who just tells you to overthrow a democracy? Yeah. Just ignore rule of law. You know how it goes with lawyers.
That's going to be, I think, just like a preview of things to come when he gets indicted. Because I think so. It's something you have to use sometimes with clients, which is like, I did it under the advice of counsel, so that it's not your intent when it occurs. And I suspect that we're going to hear that phrase uttered from Donald Trump's lips to your ears.
It's super interesting with these media characters because, you know, this has been in the news here in Colorado for a long time because Dominion has its headquarters here. And I think they're being sued as a Colorado company, or they're pursuing the lawsuits.
Yeah.
You know, they're pursuing these defamation lawsuits against Fox News and I think OAN.
Which they're going to win.
Yeah, right. And they're asking for $1 billion, which the first time that they did that, I think that got everyone, you know, a little more interested in what they kind of maybe would have thought was a sleepy story, like, you know, people pushing back on Mike Lindell, big fucking deal. But now we're suing Fox News for $1 billion.
They deposed Rupert Murdoch. I'm sure he took the fifth the whole time. I'm sure he was just like two, three, four, fifth, like throughout the whole thing.
Yeah, they deposed Mead Cooper, Fox's executive vice president. I mean, it's just, yeah.
What's interesting to me is like, I just always forget the differing standards for defamation when you're talking about someone who's well known, or like when you are the media, it kind of shifts, you know? Mm-hmm. And so like, if Sean Hannity knew that it was impossible that the American election was stolen through this company, and he, you know, put that idea on his airwaves.
He put Sidney Powell on his airwaves.
Right. You know,
Janine Shapiro, were Sidney Powell devotees for a few weeks.
Right. Like Fox News definitely, and maybe even Sean Hannity personally, you know, I don't even know how that stuff works, but yeah, someone
he absolutely promoted the notion that Dominion was what the whole thing, the whole conspiracy.
Right.
He broke it open. He was like, "We got breaking news about Venezuela." Like he was in the driver's seat of some of this stuff, Hannity.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's pretty ridiculous because, and then you know, speaking of Mike Lee, you know, everything that I read about him was actually that he, you know, he doesn't really speak up. And he doesn't vote.
That's why I found it so interesting that it was a Mike Lee quote.
Right. Well, and he, you know, from what I heard, like as soon as the stuff about the steal started happening, and he also got calls directly from Trump, you know, saying like, you need to get behind me or, you know, say something, put pressure on people. He started calling election officials and legislators in these swing states, kind of trying to check it out for himself because everyone in his base, you know, this is a Republican senator from a red state.
Right.
Everything he's hearing is that the election was stolen. And so the least he can do is kind of check it out. And like he, you know, just like everyone else who checked it out, saw nothing, no evidence of anything going on. And, you know, I think he kept pretty tight-lipped about that, but I think he mentioned it to, you know, maybe Mark Milley or someone who like also, you know, had the password. Sounds like he said that Rudy was walking malpractice. That's such mild language considering what was happening. You know, Rudy was trying to overturn the results of the United States election. Like,
would have been a good time to use the word traitor back to the Breitbart comments. Right.
It's outside of the Bar Association's purview, I think.
Right. Yeah.
I think it's kind of interesting. I was listening to, it's a perfect yeah, no, by the way, because it's just so exhausting. It's just, yeah, no, whatever.
Yeah. See all these stories popping up, and like each one of them is just like,
The thing that's kind of interesting about this lawsuit, I'm glad you brought it up. It's a cool thing to talk about because it's certainly like everything else with Trump, it's utterly historic. Nothing like this has ever happened before.
Oh, it's a huge deal.
And
yeah,
it's not a normal
dig deeper into it.
Yeah, Fox has been sued a bunch of times, and they've, you know, Murdoch has been deposed. He was deposed in Britain because of the whole like spying on celebrities cell phones thing and all that other stuff. Like, obviously he's a shady piece of shit. There's nobody's like surprised by that. But what I think is interesting about this, I heard someone talking about this recently, a journalist talking about this, that normally when you're seeing a media organization get sued for defamation, the free press in America's hackles kind of go up like, wait, hold on. Don't let them screw it for the rest of us. And this time they're like, go get them.
Yeah.
Because Hannity has said a million times, oh, I'm not a journalist, I'm an entertainer.
Right.
Like that guy, and so is, who's the other one? Tucker. They're both like, hey, man, we're just like funny guys. He's used the defense before that
no reasonable person would believe what he says.
Right, exactly. They both have said versions of that. And so that is the noose that they made for themselves that may fucking hang them. Because if you have said, well, I'm not, you know, you can say like, well, I was reporting on the facts that were on the ground at the time. And, I was, you know, I was obviously wrong. I was incorrect. Here are my sources, whatever. There's ways that you can do that as a journalist, but these guys are just like, hey, we just say stuff cause it's fun. That means you can actually be responsible for what you say. You know what I mean? Like this is the textbook of defamation. And unlike a lot of these other organizations that could go after Fox, Dominion has resource. I mean, think about like the amount of resources you have to do the kind of work that they do, right? Grown-ups. They are grown-ups. So they have like real lawyers that are going to be like, we are not stopping until we bring Fox to heel. So I think this is like, I think this is going to be one of the most interesting lawsuits to watch for the next. It's going to take a while. Probably will take like 20 to 24 months or whatever. But it's going to be fascinating to watch the whole thing come out.
For the context of the size of this kind of lawsuit, and then we need to move on for time. But this is the kind of lawsuit that will have a couple of lawyers, two, maybe three, working on only this for a while, with like one or two partners overseeing like work that's going on. It's going to be the life for a few different people doing this all the time. all the time.
It's all they do.
And they already in legal fees.
And they already have like smoking gun discovery documents in the forms of like emails and texts. Like they already have stuff. They're like,
just gobs and gobs and hours and hours and hours and hours and hours of television footage. Like it's just there. It's just there. Like
so ridiculous.
it's, so anyway, let's move on. All right, buy or sell. This one is Kevin McCarthy related. So the buy or sell is phrased as follows. Kevin McCarthy will be weak and feckless even if he gets the speaker's gavel. Buy it or sell it. And I'm going to buy it, and I'm going to buy it because he's already feckless, so that's easy. And so he just has to add weak to the fecklessness, which shouldn't be that difficult of a lift. And I just added a link to the show notes that came across my phone an hour and a half before we hit record. This is from CNN's politics page. And this is the opening line of the article. It says, House GOP leader Kevin McCarthy outlined some of the concessions that he has agreed to in his campaign for speaker. So he hasn't been guaranteed the spot. They haven't come out and said, we're electing McCarthy. There's still an ongoing campaign.
He's offering them a basket.
And he's giving them concessions already.
Right. So funny. Yeah, I guess he did go ahead and cave on this rule where it's easier to depose the speaker. Can you see if it says, okay.
Yeah, that was
pushing to give a single lawmaker the power to call for a vote.
Right, to depose the speaker, basically at any time, like a vote of no confidence.
Right.
In the speaker, basically.
To hold him hostage the whole time he's there, which is so exciting to me. It'd be so hilarious.
It'd be amazing.
I was just thinking, like, watching Sean talk about the story, and I'm just going to shut up and I'm just going to let you talk about it, is like that time that one of my cats was like, dude, there is a mouse in the trash can.
Right.
Let me in the trash can. I'm just going to let Sean kill the mouse. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to let Sean talk about how the party's falling apart and how this is going to make them look like shit in front of their base and how they're fracturing and how they're not going to be able to hold a coalition together. And, go, man. I'm excited to listen to this.
Yeah, so here's from the political article for what you're talking about. This is a few days ago. In a private meeting last week, Kevin McCarthy posed a question to some of the conservatives threatening his speakership bid. Would they all support him if he made it easier for members to depose the speaker? The House Freedom Caucus members in the meeting had pushed for that concession for months, one that would severely weaken the GOP leader's potential standing as speaker.
Yeah, no, it's hilarious because first of all, just think of the last couple of speakers of the House and how it went for them.
Mm-hmm.
Nancy Pelosi, total badass. She decides when and how the president will be impeached, and she does whatever she wants. She gets things done and
passes budgets with an incoming Republican Congress.
Right.
Remember that time? Sorry, I know I said I wasn't going to say anything, but remember that time that there was a pandemic and President Trump was in denial that there was a pandemic? And she marched over to Treasury by herself and did a deal with Steve Mnuchin without the president because he was so, and it probably wasn't what she really wanted to do. They gave away too much money to big corporate like giveaways and stuff. But she was like, hey, it's either this or nothing happens. Like, that's never happened before, has it? Where a House Speaker has to go negotiate directly with the department head of the federal government because the president is such a moron. Sorry, I just had to remind everyone.
No, that's a great example.
Of the Nancy.
Yeah. And, you know, these Republicans, the last couple of Republican speakers have been John Boehner, who was ostensibly like super strong.
Rode off into the sunset, making smoke circles out of his mouth as he went. See you later, fuckers.
Yeah. I'm going back to Ohio. And
Cutting videos with Barack Obama.
Right. And Paul Ryan was the other most recent Republican speaker. And then Denny Hastert, obviously. But anyway, that's way far back.
A sex abuser.
A convicted pedophile.
A fake Rage Against the Machine listener.
But John like Paul Boehner. Ryan. Who came in, you know, these guys should have been able to do more than they did, basically. And like, it was a shit show. And so like Kevin McCarthy, it's obvious that it's going to be a shit show. It's already been a shit show.
Right.
It's hilarious. Like
he wants it so bad too.
Right. And like, I guess there's this Main Street caucus of 70 or 80 Republicans who went ahead and signed a thing that said like, no, we're with Kevin. And then I think they added some like very mealy mouth thing like, and if the rules change that comes later is, you know, too mean to Kevin, then we might withhold, we might not vote for your rules change, you hardline conservatives.
Yeah.
And so sure. Just the fact of these letters that are going back and forth, like, portends his speakership, because they are going to do rule changes right away. That's right. In the news. That's hilarious to me. They're also
the only thing they're going to be able to get done, right, is our rule changes. That's probably the only legislative accomplishments they're going to be able to do, or it's like,
exactly,
change
that's
the rules
the
of their
thing.
Own caucus.
Right, because he has to have every single Republican vote, or he has to pass something with Democrats. And, you know, if he ever brought anything to the floor that could pass with the help of Democrats, that would be a sufficient betrayal for him to be kicked out of office. So I don't even know why. And also the last thing about McCarthy, it's known that he will lie to anyone and say anything to get
what you
he
mean
wants.
The guy who went to Trump 4 days after the right. January 6th right. insurrection and
so
kissed
like
his ass
he's
in public?
In this, like, what we're watching is this negotiation where literally it seems obvious that he will say anything to get the votes. There's five people who say there's nothing he can say that will get their votes.
Being led by Matt Gaetz.
It's
He's
hilarious.
Basically being held hostage by Matt Gaetz, alleged pedophile.
My only regret is that the George Santos story is happening at the same time as this, because yeah. they're both like similar, because it's someone, it is a mouse who's been seen by two cats and doesn't know yet, or he does. It doesn't matter. That's the story. Yeah.
And all of the dishes are still on the table.
Like, right, I was mentioning that too. Yeah.
Like, it is chaos. It is nuts. Oh my God. Rachel, anything else to add here?
Oh no.
But I can't. Oh, well, I was going to say, like, we should buy or sell whether we think he'll ever actually get it, because that is interesting.
Well, and we'll talk about this more, because Santos was like kind of the Freedom Caucus favorite, right? Like, there was this moment where they were going to like kind of push
yeah,
him forward.
They'll move
like
on. They don't
their
care.
New guy. And like, that's going really well, yeah. idiots. But yeah. I just want to say, like, to me, this is I think McCarthy is going to push it as far as he can. I think he wants it so bad. He said he was going to do it. He's been talking about taking a blowtorch to Biden or whatever his nonsense talking point about Biden is.
Oh,
for
right. The Jim Jordan committee. That'll yeah. be hilarious too. Give yeah. us the Jim Jordan committee.
Yeah. Yeah. They're just going to like Hunter
C-SPAN
Biden themselves.
Be electric.
Yeah, they're just going to Hunter Biden themselves into the dumbest corner in the history of American politics. We've said this before, that like Trump was like conservative Bob Hope for president. Like, if Bob Hope, by the way, was like extremely racist, and like if he were Trump today, he would be Trump today, basically, like just a less talented version of him. And so there's something about like Trump's like.
In
ridiculous.
My head right now, it's just Trump's words coming out of Bob Hope's mouth, like
the same words,
but in Bob Hope's cadence, and it's fucking hilarious.
It's great.
I just think of Bob Newhart, and I actually don't know who Bob Hope is.
You're not missing anything. It's fine. He made some movies in the 1930s and 40s with Bing Crosby, and some of them are fine.
Hey, Bob Hope, man, it's just wild, man.
So he's not as cool as Bob Newhart, then.
No.
Yeah. Bob Newhart's shit. That was a weird tangent, but anyway, like my whole point was like he's just like this that kind of personality for a generation of people that grew up looking at people like that, and also satisfied a bunch of racists, like the, right. he kind of held them all together in his thrall in a way. We have said for 2 years now that you can't Trump without Trump. You can't do it. It doesn't work. It just comes. It's like. It's like the person who's too drunk at 1 p.m. at the barbecue, where everybody's just like just having a drink and everybody's really chill. And then somebody's like, shots. And you're like, dude, we just got here. Like, calm, bring it down. It's like that. It's like, I don't know,
shots
it's a bad
guy
analogy,
is such
you know
a good,
what I mean?
No,
like,
I think
it just looks
shots
kind of
guy
glaring.
In general is a good analogy for that.
Did I do it?
Yeah.
Did
yeah
I do
just
it? Okay.
Generally speaking.
Yeah.
Shots
like,
guy.
And, like, it's, and it's like, and it's like Fireball or something yes, where you're like, yes. What frat did you get kicked out of?
It's like we just put
and so
on
here
the
we
Jack
are, like,
Johnson album, bro.
It's a half a bottle of Rumplemans. We just put on the Jack
Johnson. Was it the bubbly toast? Yeah. Anyway, that was my Jack Johnson. Drunk Jack Johnson singing. So, like, now they're kind of in this shit sandwich that McCarthy's made himself the meat in.
With cheese.
And we said this was going to happen. Yeah. We've been saying for 2 years that you can't Trump without Trump. Give it up. Don't do it anymore. Hold your ground. Just do normal. Just be normal. Just be normal. It's all good. The stank's gonna wash off. You'll still have a party, but they're falling apart because they tried to do the impossible, which was to be. Because you can kind of Reagan. You can kind of Reagan without Reagan because he was not really a thing. You know what I mean? Like you could kind of like be the sort of like, sort of starchy.
It's like Jimmy Carter, but you hate poor people.
Yes. 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 Well,
Reagan was a placeholder. Yeah,
exactly.
Right. He was. Reagan wasn't.
Yeah.
His
yeah.
own person.
That's right.
Like,
that's right.
He was. Yeah.
That's
he had,
right. That's
he
right.
He was charming, but he wasn't a demagogue. Like he's correct. Been turned into it posthumously.
That's right. That's exactly correct.
That's not
exactly,
what he was at the time.
You're exactly right. So, like, I've been calling this the trifurcation of the Republican Party.
Yeah.
Sean has had varying ways to talk about it, but here we are, where. We for at least for the next 18 months, we should all, as progressives or liberals or whatever the hell you want to call yourself, should just lean back just a little bit and watch this clown show explode, because it's going to be redonkulous. The way the media talks about it is going to be stupid. And we just get to like sit back and be like, ah.
And my recommendation is if you are a person who gets some type of updates on your phone, like I love headline updates on my phone because I can just kind of keep in general what's going on. So, and then if it's something that I'm like, oh, and I'll read it real quick. Get a bunch of them. Get CNN and Politico and NPR. Get like, five or six of them that you like, because then you'll get when something hilarious happens, you'll get the update like, five or six times, and it'll happen across like a 10-minute span, and you'll see all the different ways that they're trying to talk about it, and it's even funnier. It's just even more fun.
That's a really good suggestion, because it is going to be, and we'll have plenty of time to talk about 2024 and Biden and running and all that other stuff, but like right now that old man just has to not fall down and break his fucking hip and like look reasonably astute and just keep going like this, like I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm ready to get stuff done again, like I did for 2 years.
He's keep doing his superpower, done. Which is the reason that I thought he could was the only person that could have beat Trump in 2016, in my opinion, because he has the ability to do exactly the thing that makes Joe Biden Joe Biden, which is just let somebody talk and then look at them and give a half smile, a wry smile, and then look at you and just go, can you believe this guy? And then
it's
say whatever he wants.
It's handing Manchin the pen, right?
Yes. And then
here you go. You want this? Ha ha! Yeah. You can't sign bills into law. That's me. Yeah.
Yeah. We did everything totally. We wanted to do in the first 2 years. Like, is there more we could do that we'd like to do? Yes. But everything we wanted
we'll do
to
it
do
in the Senate.
Yeah. Everything we absolutely needed to get done, we got done.
Right.
In the
first
2 years.
You have no
power.
The lamest. This might be. And we'll see.
I'll
be
split curious.
But not really. We have an isolated house, really.
Right, isolated.
Isolated house, and maybe we'll have this. We have this problematic Supreme Court that is not funny, and that is not a lean back moment.
Funny.
That is terrifying. That is some and the state stuff we'll get into in a second. But like, I don't know. It doesn't matter what I was going to say.
Sean, last word on this, so we can move on.
Yeah, so I'm going to go out on a limb and say something I haven't heard anyone say really in the media. I might be wrong, but I don't think McCarthy is going to be able to hold it together. I think enough people are going to be saying, you are so weak.
And feckless.
It's not going to serve us for you to be speaker. We're sorry you were unable to bring it across the finish line, but that is the news.
Who's your number two?
Well, Steve Scalise, I think, would be a consensus of a lot of people.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, and I'm trying to think of like who is like the real muscle, like the individual people who could and would tell him like hang it up. I don't know exactly who that would necessarily be, but I think that's what I'm going to say. I'm going to say he doesn't even, he falls short.
Interesting.
At the 1 yard line.
Well, we will see. Let's move on.
And now, the big one.
Okay, the big one is ranked choice voting may be coming soon. So in our traditional middle out approach here, this actually comes from a Columbia, Missourian article by Samir Knox, and it is about ranked choice voting. So Better Elections is a group that has been trying to get ranked choice voting on the ballot in Missouri, and it looks like it's still in the air. It looks like it's still going to be coming down the pike. There's been a lot of chatter about it. I think I said something in our Slack about like ranked choice voting is like the school choice of the left. It's kind of one of those issues that the both sides have opinions about it. It's got some good, it's got some bad, it's got some reasons to oppose it. But in the end, it's a really good issue for the left because it's a fairness thing, right? It's about fair elections. It's about giving voters a real say in who gets elected. It's about helping get rid of gerrymandered results in a certain way. It's about keeping extremists from both sides, by the way, keeping extremists out of office. So that I find that very interesting. Sean, can you open us up here on the ranked choice voting and maybe help us contextualize it?
Yeah. So one, I thought it was super interesting. I don't know if people knew this, but I guess it is a Democrat-backed group that pumped $6 million into an effort to get 160,000 signatures in Missouri to bring ranked choice voting onto a statewide ballot. And apparently they're doing this in other red states, which is, you know, I just thought it was super interesting. They didn't really dive into that on the article, but like for all the breath that we use talking about what the Democrats should be doing with their money in red states, I feel like candidates and state parties are probably very interested in like that this is happening. And I'm interested too, because I think it's probably pretty smart. And
the math right now kind of looks like marijuana.
Changed his mind about ranked choice voting.
Oh, well, I don't know about that. I don't know what my mind was ever, but
you thought it was pretty like, silly. Yeah,
that was it. You were like, this is not, we should be focusing on other things, or this isn't where I would. And I was very much like, oh, bring it. I would fight.
I think it was in context of like saying that it was going to happen in Missouri. And you were like, no, it's not. And so people should not be focused on it right now.
We were talking about the ballot initiative.
I think that was it. That's what I mean.
And you were more like, no, like let's vote for something. Let's focus. Let's put our energies towards something else. And I was like, no, but this is like a system-wide reset. Like this changes. This makes things harder for the Greitenses and the Schmitz of the world.
Yeah, no, you're right. And I did say like politics should be about people's lives, and like I don't want you know, it's talking about ranked choice voting. I don't want volunteers who are calling voters talking about ranked choice voting.
Right. That's what you said. Okay.
Yeah,
right. I'm not crazy.
I want them to be talking about how the Republicans are totally full of shit, and you know,
but you can do. You can say you could. This is such a bipartisan thing. You can say that they're both full of shit if you want.
I guess that's true, right? So anyway, so it's really cool, and it's like the Sarah Palin story. I think is what helped this break through nationally.
Right.
You know, Sarah Palin lost an at-large congressional race in a state that she had already won statewide, and it's a Republican state, and she lost to a Democrat. And, you know, so the way that ranked choice voting works, a lot of folks who listen to this already know this, but it's confusing enough that it's always worth hearing again.
Absolutely, it is, yeah.
So it's a free-for-all in the primary. As many people can run as want. And then the top four finishers move on to the general election. And in that election, instead of, you know, a Democrat, a Republican, a Green Party, you know, whatever parties get someone onto the general election ballot, it's the top four finishers. So that could mean that it's two Democrats and two Republicans. Right. It could mean that there are third parties involved. It could mean that it's four Democrats if it's, you know, Burlington, Vermont or something. And then the way that it works is you rank, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, who you would prefer. You don't have to do all four. You can just do your one, or you can give a second choice. And then when the votes start to get counted, whoever comes in last place, if there's no plurality, which I guess for the result, you know, if one person gets a majority plus one, sorry, if someone gets a majority plus one in first choice votes, they win and there's right. no other counting. But if there's no majority winner, then the votes of the last place person, everyone who voted for that person, their second choice then gets that number of ballots.
Yeah.
Those ballots from the worst loser, the person right. who got last place, those are the only votes that go anywhere. And those voters, second choice, then gets reallocated up. And so it's really, really interesting because you can, it really gets rid of spoilers. And there's right. so much fear about spoilers, you know, among people who care about elections. And, you know, it gets rid of a spoiler. Here's how it would work. You know, the obvious thing, think of like Ralph Nader in Florida, and it's, you know, Gore is the Democrat, Bush is the Republican, Nader is the Green Party. Nader gets 5.4%. Gore gets 47. Bush gets 48. If all, so then because there was no one got 50% plus one, all of Nader's second choice votes right. will now count. And so they would be split based on what the voters did. And in this case, you know, probably most of them would go to Al Gore, putting him over the top. So it eliminates him as a spoiler. So like, right. that's a big, you know, it gets rid of spoilers is a reason to
right. George, like rank George voting. Herbert Walker Bush probably would have been president again in a ranked choice voting
right.
system.
Right. Ross Perot would have come Perfect. In last.
Because yeah. Ross Perot true. Picked up like 19% of that vote. I think Clinton won yep. with 42%. In 1992, fact check, live fact check on that.
Is it that? That right I thought Perot was more like 5 to 10. I didn't realize it was 20.
I'm gonna say Bill got between 40 and 41.
1992, right. president.
I'm not arguing with you guys. You're that's. I'm not gonna.
Election results. Let's
no, see. I'm changing it. 44.
Going to Wikipedia. Clinton had 43%, George H.W.
Nice.
Bush,
yeah,
37.5%,
okay.
Ross Perot, 18.9%.
I stand, yeah, so Roth, yeah, that was always the big thing is that Ross Perot spoiled the vote for W. My mother voted for Ross Perot, by the way, in that election. I was like, you what now?
You That's what? Awesome.
You yeah. did what? Why?
He was fun.
Right. I think a lot of people liked him.
He was a lot yeah. of fun. He was on yeah. SNL. Dana Carvey was doing it. It was really funny. It's like well, my first you're... like political memory is Dana Carvey doing Ross Perot and going, can I finish? Like,
my other really quick like, little case study of like why ranked choice voting is cool. So like here in Denver, we had a contested Democratic primary where the goddamn Chamber of Commerce got behind one of the Democrats because right. they saw her as more favorable to their goals. And she almost won. And, you know, this you know, this sort of thing happens a lot. And so like if you are in a place with ranked choice voting, then there might be two Democrats and two Republicans that make it through. And then if you're a Democrat, you know, if you want to vote for the more progressive person, right. but you don't want to waste your vote, you know, just put your preferred person first. And then you know that if they are the loser, your votes will be reallocated. So in a very real
Sean,
way,
there's no such thing as a wasted vote. Yeah. I've been told.
Wait.
Unless you're voting for a Democrat in a statewide election in Missouri in 2020, whatever.
Yeah, so the map right now is like the reverse of the weed map like 10 years ago, where like there's a couple of states that it's across the board, Alaska and Maine, and then there's two states in Tennessee and Florida. It is banned. It's just full-blown banned
wow.
statewide. You can't use
it
anywhere.
The Republican legislature would have done that.
Right.
Helping us understand.
Right. Right. And then it's in some places it's used in presidential primaries. Then there's like local races, local option for municipalities to use it. So and it makes sense too. Like most municipal races are nonpartisan races. So people aren't actually allowed to put their party affiliation on things.
Right.
So
think of it as
why not have ranked choice voting, right? In a municipal setting.
And think of all these crazy ass right wing, paranoid, toxic, misogynistic, hateful Republican state reps right. in little districts that are like R plus 30.
Right.
In a place like this where the Democrats never going to win, you know, you could have an insane Republican and, you know, then just
a norm
people.
Core. You're just right. a good old norm right. core. Just a
it
good
would
old
give
like
real incentive for somebody yes. to run who's a more standard Republican.
And you'd have
because
you'd
they don't
have
better... to because then they don't have to do the primary thing.
Right.
Like they don't have to do the 6 months of just getting attacked by this crazy group of fanatics.
And it's not as binary. You'd have, I think, some more interesting coalitions too, even in a state that has the draconian term limits that Missouri does. You'd still have people that are not going to be as afraid of just doing something sensible, just right. being like, I don't know, confirming.
That's really smart. Yeah, I feel like.
Go ahead. I was just going to say, like Missouri right now would have a doctor as the head of our basically Department of Health statewide.
Right.
If
no
we
question.
Didn't have these yep. fucking lunatics that were just like, but I have a point to make, so we can't. Right. Like, there's no way that would have happened if there were like three more moderates in the Missouri Senate.
Right. That's a really good point. That's a really, really good point.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And I think there would be actually more civic mindedness and more participation.
It would have
to
be
another big argument for it. You know, more people will vote if they have someone palatable on the ballot that they can pick.
Right. How often do you hear? I mean, right. South Park did an entire episode, and it's like one of their most legendary episodes where you have to choose between a giant douche and a turd sandwich.
Right.
That's how a ton of people see elections. Like, it's not a coincidence that episode was hilarious and people love it. Like, that's how a lot of people see elections that way. Whether it's a local election or a presidential election, they just see anybody who's running for office must be bad in some way, and I'll just, you know, I'll put them in whichever bad box they need to be in, but they're probably bad because they're running for office.
Well, and if it's either or, right? Like, it's easy.
It's way easier.
Extremism loves parties, right? Because there's just, well, you're not going to, come on, you're not going to, like, vote for them, obviously. You know, and you're like,
Rancher
you're right.
It feels like the thing that if you could get in a time machine and go to 1787 and bust into that room just before they sign and be like, wait,
let me blow your
let
guys
me tell you about
minute.
This like they would yeah. like Ben Franklin would just be like, everybody shut up, this is what
he's
we're
right.
doing,
there's yeah. something here,
yeah, it's all, and it's, they would say the whole thing, like, and then Washington would just be like, yes,
the way I've kind of explained that's it to people bad. And that was an excellent explanation, Sean. And there's also this other thing we have. So St. Louis has approval voting, which is a little bit different. Mm-hmm. And there is also, I've seen some of the, I can't remember the name of the organization here in Missouri that, is
Film
trying
Integrity
to get,
is probably who you're thinking of.
Yeah, you're right. That is who it is. They, they're now starting to talk a little bit more about approval voting, cause it's not quite as confusing as ranked choice voting, but the kind of the impact is the same, which is that you weed out people that either, you know, aren't sustainable, they don't have the money, that like you don't have to like go into this primary like please as if you have a chance. And also it weeds out like extremism, both of them do. But what it kind of does is when you look at the way parliamentary systems work, these parties form these coalitions. And so like right. you have to form a government with these various coalitions, and if nobody has a supermajority, then they have to basically like go take their hat off and go, please, sir, can I have some more? Will you join my coalition? And you're the Green Party, and I'm the Lib Dems, and, you know, you're the Tories, and you're the whatever. As a voter, in some way, you're kind of bringing that ability to the voter if you have ranked choice or approval voting in front of them, because it's kind of what happens in a sense. I mean, not really. Like, that's kind of a...
No, that's a good way to explain
it's
it,
not
though,
a one-to-one
like...
analogy, but that is kind of what happens, is you're sort of like, voters get to be treated like adults, which we are, right? We are adults. And it does, I know that for people that aren't fans of it, who I know who are Democrats, are concerned that people are so used to binary choices in places like Missouri when it comes to parties that they just won't vote, right? They'll just be like, that's too much choice. I don't understand. I'm really confused. And I was like, or you'll be able to run as a fucking independent, and who cares?
Yeah, also right. people don't understand be like, roundabouts when they build them, but 2 years later, yeah, they're fine.
Great example.
Like, roundabouts are just like ranked choice voting. It's better. Yeah. All
it's
the studies will
better.
Tell you, it's better. Yeah. In every
better.
Possible way you can imagine, it's better. Yeah. But as soon totally. As you put it in, people are just like, this is the craziest thing I've ever done.
I hate it. I hate it. I hate it.
How do I yield? What do you mean I'm going right and I have the right? What is a right of way?
Can I make one more Simpsons reference? Because like, yes. Do you guys remember when they changed that Springfield has to split up two area codes as one
yeah.
go who and all that?
Right.
And they're showing the educational film where like they're explaining how it works, and the explainer video has a host that's a talking phone. The phone's like, "Hi, I'm Phony McRing Ring." That's the name of the phone. I feel like we need like a Phony McRing Ring for like ranked for like ranked choice voting.
Hi, I'm Troy McClure for ranked choice voting.
We do. But I mean, what's going to be tough is that the Missouri Republicans are determined to gut the ballot petitioning process in Missouri. They're just absolute, like they have that in their laser sights. And I would argue it is this reason. It's not abortion.
I think
abortion is the cloud cover they're going to use. They're going to tell their voters, like, if we don't do this, they're going to legalize abortion, which sure, totally, absolutely. However, this is the real thing they're afraid of.
I think you're right.
Is, you know, taking the sort of the strings away from the Republican Party apparatus for a little. I don't, you know, I'm hopeful that.
Which do you have to do by eliminating the ability for the voters to participate?
So what, like the last note that I'll say on this and then I'll shut up is that, if I were, I think like if I were looking at the map and I was like somebody in DC, the Beltway area, figuring out how to spend money in the next cycle and how to fix this red state, because they don't, you know, like for all the problems of the Democrats, and there's many, you know, none of them are like, oh, good. Yeah. Fuck up voting more for people. Take away their right to have health care and stuff. That's awesome. We love that shit. Yeah. No, make it illegal to get an abortion if you're raped. That's wonderful. No, they don't. They hate that stuff. So how are we like? I think that you have the money is better spent right now if you're one of those people on protecting the ballot initiative process. Hard. Go hard right now. Spend way more money on that than you would whoever the hell is going to run against Josh Howley, right? And get this done. If you get this done, because they can't do it in Ohio. Ohio already, like, they already rammed through the type of amendment to the ballot petitioning process, which is that any ballot has to get 60% of the vote or something, whatever. It's a supermajority of voters. Jeez. That already happened in Ohio. Yep. So
if it came from the voters, it should be presumed that it needs a higher threshold to become law.
And they don't need that threshold to put a ballot in front of the voter themselves. That's the real kicker.
Right.
Is that they don't need a supermajority in their own lawmaking bodies. They can do it with like a third, whatever. So that is the, if I was going to like ask the political gods for anything, I'd be like, look, you're probably not going to pick up a Republican. You're not going to pick up a Democratic governor in Missouri in 2024. Maybe people hate Josh Howley enough. I doubt it though. Seriously, like it's Missouri, whatever. Spend all your money and time and resources protecting our ballot petitioning process. Like just ads, money, people, feet on the ground, lawyers, all of it. And then get this shit on our ballot for 2024, because this would really be the thing that would institute like kind of a new political era in places like Missouri and so forth.
I think that's excellent and an excellent place to leave this portion of the show. We're going to move on to the last call, the little break in between. Quick reminder, if you are not a subscriber, you can get the last call by going to our Patreon through heartlandpod.com, clicking on the Patreon link. And if you sign up at $5 a month or higher, you get the last call episodes. We do two of these a month. They're a very good time. You unlock all the old ones too, like the one we did right before Christmas, where we did an entire hour on the Trump NFTs. And it was hilarious and a lot of fun. And it's worth signing up.
I think that's going to hold up too.
I think so. And there is a way, by the way, over there, you can go to the bottom of the screen and you can copy a link when you're on that page. And you can put that link in your podcast thing and it'll actually put it into your podcast feed. So check that out. But anyway, go sign up, heartlandpod.com, click the Patreon link. Or if you have a Patreon account, just search The Heartland Pod and it'll come up. All right, we're going to move on to the last call, and we're going to talk about George Santos. We'll be right back.
Last call.
All right, we're here for the last call, and we're talking about George Santos, if that's his name.
Sounds like it's not.
At this point, I don't know. Like, I have no idea if it's his name or not. Pretty insane story. I'm sure if you're listening to this, you know the story. I don't think we have to recap about this guy that got elected to Congress out of New York. And it turns out he is to taxes as Trump is to like, or he is to facts about his life as Trump is to taxes. Like, just all bullshit. All bullshit.
Yeah, it's been so funny. There's been so many little phases to it. You know, it started over a week ago, maybe not a full week ago, but, you know, this thing is going to stay in the news. I'm excited to start riffing. I don't know how
He's wanted by Brazilian authorities.
Oh, wow. He's wanted?
Or he was at one point. I don't know if he still is wanted. I assume if Brazilian authorities want you at some point, they still want you unless they get you.
I read about, there was a charge mentioned. Yeah, he had a charge in Brazil.
Ask Sean Hannity about that,
I guess. What the fuck? He tried to say, like, he's like, of course I'm Jewish. Like, I say that. That's
right.
My joke.
That's what I said to Amanda. She was like, he lied about being Jewish. I was like, yeah. She's like, he said he was Jewish. I was like, yeah, which is what Rachel says as a joke, because she actually has, like, Jewish family.
Proper Jewish
people
family.
Who are Jewish, right? Like, who don't like practice super.
Yeah, like devoutly. I wasn't raised in the culture. All of my cousins were, though. So when I say that I am Jewish, it's because, like, I go to their house and they're like, "Remember this part?" I'm like, "I don't know any of those prayers. Can I just mumble like I always do?" And they're like, "Of course, Rachel."
Right. You are to Judaism as I am to being a redneck. Like, we're there. It's just like we've been around.
Oh no,
it.
I don't speak any fucking Hebrew though. Like, there's a whole thing. Like, whatever, it doesn't matter.
Redneck.
Like,
you're right.
What an
different.
Asshole. Like, so probably not his last name. He's definitely not a Jewish. How about? Where did the money come from that funded his campaign?
Right.
That's pretty. That is
a $700,000 loan. Except wait,
from
you don't
where?
Have a degree. Who paid you? Whoever paid you?
Yeah.
Whoever paid you? Even if you had a company, it's like also. So I was a headhunter in New York for 5 years. So I looked at a fuck ton of resumes, and I looked at a fuck ton of resumes specifically that said Horace Mann, Brew College, Citigroup.
The Heartland Pod is a production of Midmap Media, LLC. Follow us on Twitter with @TheHeartlandPod. With email, you can reach us, heartlandpod2020@gmail.com. Online with heartlandpod.com. Subscribe, and please sign up for our Patreon with patreon.com/heartlandpod. Become a podhead or an official podgressive today and unlock all of our content. See you at the next show.